Moncrief on News Talk.
As we approach the end of the summer and the restarting of school, many young people will be returning home or already have done so after their stint in the Gaeltacht. And for many Ballantyre around the country, it's a chance to have a bit of a rest after they've given the place a good clean. Moya Ní Cullum has been doing this for 33 years. Moya, good afternoon.
Hello, Kajima Petu. How are you?
Not too bad. Now, your mother did it before you, so you've been seeing generations of kids coming through your home for decades.
I certainly have. It's been something that we've been brought up with in this area. My mum would have kept students from I was very young, from I was about 8 or 9. So, yeah, we've seen a lot of changes and a lot of students have gone through her door and my door this last 33 years.
Yeah. Now, the kids themselves, do you think they've changed?
Well, I suppose kids in general have changed, not just the Gaeltacht kids. When I look back in my own childhood, it was completely different to what my own children now would have lived through. So children in general have changed, yes. And I suppose their needs, you know, their dietary, everything has changed.
Yeah. No, because I'm wondering, say, particularly on, like 30 years ago, 40 years ago, if a child went to the Gaeltacht, it seemed much farther away than it might today, if you know what I mean, because you've got the phones and all that kind of stuff that you can make instant communication. So have you noticed that over the years, a difference in homesickness, or is it pretty much the same?
No, homesickness was probably something that was there all the time. But going back, and again, I'm going to say 45, 50 years ago when mum used to keep the mum and dad, they would come, I'm going to say, from the heart of Belfast. Most of them would have come there in the early years when we had the Gaeltacht year. And anyone that has ever visited Dunluce in Eidhr, you come in from Letterkenny in very rural, rugged terrain, and I often wondered where did they think they were going, because they had left cities and they were landed here then in the countryside. But I must say they used to love it. It spelt freedom for them, something they wouldn't have had going back years ago, I suppose, at the height of the Troubles in Northern Ireland. And it was a safe haven for them for over 3 weeks. And even had they got homesick, it wouldn't have been as easy for them to contact home. But that's where the Ballantyre comes in, you know, especially anyone that has reared their own kids. You know, you will make them feel as at home as you possibly can. And any kids, and I still say to this day, give it a chance. Don't be phoning home this evening or tomorrow evening saying you're homesick. Give it 3 or 4 days. The most important thing to remember is nobody's going to keep you here against your will. If after a few days that you say, no, it's not for me, that's fine. You'll get to come back home. Parents will come and collect them. But 95% of the time, after 3 days, they're not even thinking of home.
Yeah. Because I suppose back 50 years ago, if they wanted to contact home, they'd have to go to a payphone or something. Of course, they have the mobile phones. Are there rules around that in your house and the Coláiste?
Yeah, there are rules now. I'm going to say this last number of years, in particular this last 3 years, where they are not to have their phones on their person when they come into your house. And again, it's college rules. It's not our rules, but we have to abide by them too. The college, and they've been notified before they even leave their homes that the phones have to be given to the Ballantyre when you come into the house. We'd look after their phones then for them. Of course, you get them to ring or text home to say they have arrived safely. I would usually give my phone number, you know, out there if any parent wanted to contact them, as also the college give their number to parents or guardians. So they're never going to be able to say that they weren't contactable. So what you would do then is when they come in at 5 o'clock for their dinner in the evening, you would usually give them their device, let it be the mobile phone or their iPad. They say for 20 minutes, half hour. In my house, I'll give it to them for 1 hour. But they have to sit in the kitchen or in the sitting room, not allowed to take the phones to the bedrooms. Mm. And I have found since this rule has come in, there are less bullying and there are less falling out amongst themselves because, as I say, you're sharing a bedroom with another two or three people and young ones and Snapchats and everything else. So it's one of the rules for the better.
Yeah, absolutely. I would have thought so. And the food, I suppose, would have changed over the years. Is this, you know, back when you were a child and you were watching your parents do this, was it more work intensive for them?
Oh, a lot more work intensive. My job as a very young teenager was to sit for hours peeling potatoes and making them into chips.
Yeah.
And mum, my parents kept 24, 25 students at any one time. So you can imagine the buckets of chips that we used to have to do. It was a case then you would go out, get the milk from the cattle. The chickens had the eggs. We grew our own veg. All that has completely changed. You just go to the supermarket now. Everything is in the supermarkets. I'll tell you a funny story once. One of the young ones must have seen the cow getting milked. This is in my home at the time when I was a teenager. No, I don't drink that milk, he says. And mum says, what kind of milk do you drink? Oh, I only drink milk out of a carton. And you feel like saying, where do you think it comes from in the beginning? But so things have changed for the, you know, it has made the life of a Banathee a lot easier. Mm. The work was a lot harder. Going back that time, there were no automatic washing machines. There were no dishwashers, microwaves, or anything like that, or any of the convenient foods that you can get. But again, the taste in food, I suppose, has changed. And I have noticed, depending on where the scholarly come from now, if they're from a farming background or a country, or if some of them would be into their sports, a lot of them still would like their potatoes, meat and veg. Then if they're really into sports, it would be pastas and rice. And then if it's some of them that weren't into any kind of that, they would be more into your pizzas and can you processed foods and that, which, as I explained to them, you know, if they say, no, we don't like this, we don't like that, you know, we still have to be promoting healthy eating. So, you know, you just find the balance so as to try and please every one of them.
Yeah.
You're never going to be doing three or four different dinners at any one time. But nobody will ever go hungry. The toaster's always sitting in the corner.
And do any of them rock up looking for avocado on toast for breakfast or any of that kind of, you know, fancy stuff?
They're only children at the end of the day.
Do you get any vegetarians?
Oh, you would. You would get vegetarian, vegan. Allergies is a big thing now, something that wouldn't have been there in my parents' time when we were keeping students. So you have to be very, very mindful of that. But usually before they would come to your house, you've been notified that you were going to have somebody with dairy intolerance or nut intolerance. Like, you know what's coming, so you can prepare and have the proper foods. You know, gluten-free would be a big one. But again, in all the local supermarkets, sure, they cater for everything.
Yeah, sure. And how many kids would you have at any one time, Moya?
11. I keep 11 in my house.
I imagine that can get noisy, perhaps.
Well, it probably probably can, but I came from a very, very big family. There was 11 of us in it. And even though some of them had travelled all over the world, a lot of them have moved back to Dunluce and Shaw. So I would have a lot of nieces and nephews going through my house any day. You know, my own two kids now are growing up, but I have been brought up in a house with always noise, plenty of kids, teenagers, so it doesn't bother me in the least.
Yeah,
but you know, you try and get the balance, give them a little while to have their fun at night, but they are children, and the one thing I tell them is be mindful that maybe you don't want to go to sleep till about 1 o'clock at night or half 12, but there's somebody sharing a bedroom with you that likes to go to bed at half 10, so you have to find the balance.
Yeah, and they're learning very useful lessons there about how to, you know, deal with other people and all that kind of stuff.
Yeah, and again, it's a great learning curve for future when they go to college and that, because we know today's kids, my own included, they all have their own bedrooms, they have their own space and everything. And when you come to the guilt that I said, you are going to be sharing with another two or three. So, yeah.
Yeah, that is very useful. Now, I suppose the thing everyone says about the Gaeltacht is going to the Ceilidhs and, you know, the first kiss and the romances and all that stuff. Do you see that still happening?
That still happens. And, you know, the tears, the broken hearts then, aww, when they're going to different parts of the country at the end of it's 2 weeks now. When I was younger, it used to be 3 weeks and 3 days, they would say. But since COVID, they have found that it's better just for the 2 weeks. So after the 2 weeks, then the heartbreak and the tears and everything. But with social media, they can still keep in contact now. Mm. Whereas when we were growing up and when the students were coming to our house that was about our age, if we had our first kiss or if you got into a romance, it was letters that would come from... Yeah. Letters to and froing.
Yeah, though I understand it though. Like, I mean, it must be the case, obviously, that their kids then grow into adults and have kept in touch. And there have been a few weddings you've been to.
There has been a few weddings. And, you know, it's so nice when people keep in touch. Because, as I said, way back in the early years, a lot of them used to come for 3 and 4 years after one another, and then they would come back as Canary, and then they would come back as Mooncherry. So they grew up with a lot of us at that era, and a lot of them kept in touch. Some of them met women, men, whatever, here locally and ended up marrying local girls or vice versa. Some of them, the girls or the boys or whoever they met, some of them have moved to different parts of the country, but it would have all started off here in the Gaeltacht, yes.
My word. And is there still, is it difficult to find places, given, you know, if when parents are applying for their kids to go to the Clash, that is to find places for them to live? Is there still a constant demand for that?
There is a constant demand. And I suppose for a while there, the Meriti were a dying breed. For we just thought we weren't really getting fair play. You know, there was nobody listening to what we were looking for, and the money wasn't well, we weren't well paid or anything. So we did, you know, form a committee. We went to the Shannon, we lobbied our TDs, and we're always open to getting an increase. But I suppose the money is quite good now. And a lot of the Meriti probably that would have stopped during COVID because, of course, we weren't getting paid. We weren't entitled to any money or anything. So a lot of women went out to work that would have normally stayed at home. So for a few years there, then the houses were less and less. But now, since the money and while it's worthwhile for a Banathi, we are getting new Meritia on board, and Run the Gaeltacht have come up with a grant to help new families to host na scolarí gaelicé. So, yeah, you okay. know, at the moment, it's good. It's very good. And it's just not just the Marathia that gain. Like, we have our local shops, our hotels, restaurants, bus companies. Like, it brings an awful lot of income into the Gaeltacht.
Yeah, here. I would think. And are you finished now for the year, or do you, would
no,
you still get
at
visitors?
At the moment, we had a 3-week break from the younger scholarly. At the moment, scholarly is College Frederick from, we have the teacher trainees from St. Pat's in Dublin. So, like, they're university students. So I suppose there's a big difference. Mm-hmm. You feed them. You don't have to babysit them. You don't have to be in the house 24/7 with the adults. Whereas with the kids, like any kids, you would have to be in the house, or an adult over 18 that has been guard the vetted has to be there with the scholarly book, as we say, to the younger students. But at the moment, we have the older ones. Yeah. And sure, look, they're great. I mean, you feed them, they look after themselves. That's it. They go out, they can socialise, they can do whatever.
Yeah.
Because they're all in, you know, early 20s or late teens.
Well, yeah, thanks.
So another 2 weeks and that's us then.
And
we're
that's
finished
you then.
Then.
Yeah. Okay. Well, enjoy the rest when you get it, Moya. And thanks so much for speaking with us today. That was Moya Ní Chulainn there, a Ballantí in the Donegal Gaeltacht. One texter says, both my kids said that not being allowed to have their mobile phones at all was the best thing about being in the Gaeltacht. No pressure to have tan, makeup, clothes, hair perfect. I dropped off two tanned young ladies. 3 weeks later, collected two feral, super happy teens. There's a lot to be said for that. Times have changed, says another texter. I was sent as a 12-year-old to Inishore for a month in 1979. The food was appalling. Spam and cabbage and angel delight. Not a chip in sight. Thursday was homemade brown bread and scones. I came home emaciated. The Ballantí had as much motherly regard as a stick. Still had fun, but the food still gives me nightmares.
Moncrief. Weekdays at 2. On News Talk. Conversation that counts.